Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
Raleigh James Show, and I was just looking at the easiest possible way to make money. Guy goes to his PayPal account and discovers his previous balance was $140.26. His current balance is quadrillion. This is the way to make money. All right, clearly it was a mistake, and actually I looked closer at his statement, and I think they debited it from him, but either way, they've corrected it now. He was asked by reporters what he'd do with the money, and he said, I'd pay down the national debt. Not enough. All right, as I can tell, not enough. One of the things we're always talking about is the economy, because how can you talk about anything resembling current events right now and not get into it? And, of course, when you start getting to things that make you go, gold prices, for one thing, and all things precious metal. You've probably been reading the articles I have about what's been going on with the manipulation and fluctuation in the gold prices, and I thought, well, you ask me the questions I can't answer. I know the woman who can. And in fact, Melody Cedars from DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net is the only person I would talk to when I want to buy precious metals. There's nobody else that I trust. I trust her not only to know what she's doing, but probably more importantly, I trust her to tell me the truth and to deal with me honestly and fairly. And I've been recommending her for years, and she's never let anybody down that I've heard of. So I figured when we're talking gold, I know nothing and she knows all. So Melody, thanks for joining us.
I'm scared now, Raleigh. Thank you for having me.
Well, I think we're all scared when we read the various things that make up the news daily now. And we used to think that the gold market went up and down for a variety of things, but rarely did we think it was because of speculation, because of people who were never planning on buying or selling gold, but were doing everything on paper. Now, explain that and how much of that actually affects the price.
Well, they've actually created two markets, the physical market and the paper market. And, of course, the paper market is the futures market to where they can go in there, and they can go in there and go long, and they can go in there and go short. And they can either take physical delivery or their gold, or if they sell it, they can take the cash product. I think this is going to be one of the biggest scandals ever in gold, although I still believe the LIBOR rate scandal should be the biggest scandal ever to have ever happened. I think gold will easily pass that or at least come in second to that.
Okay.
Because there's just not gold there. There's no gold there. And, yes, it can have an impact. I think more important that it has is that it has a psychological impact. And people forget that the reasons they buy gold, the long-term fundamentals for gold, and they become fearful of the prices dropping, that it's just another market. They can be psychologically impacted by all the negative talk that you hear 24/7 on the news networks, and they begin to sell their gold. And at first, when they came in and hit gold in April, they hit it, but I think physical buying actually put a stop under it, and it really kept it from falling to these levels that we have today. But I think at these levels, it's a terrific buying opportunity. And a lot of the paper trading that they do, just like we saw in oil, we saw them push oil to 150, and that truly was all paper. It was all future contracts that pushed the price up to 150. We got penalized by $4 a gallon of gasoline. So they can do a lot in the paper markets. and they had, and because it's not a free market anymore, so it takes a lot of money to make the moves. But what people don't understand is that both gold and silver are small markets, and of all the markets, they're probably one of the easiest ones to manipulate, to change, to control. We talk about manipulate, but it really is all about control. And you have to understand that our economy is based, our dollar, I should say our currency, our monetary policy is based on confidence. And you cannot have an economy that's improving, as they tell us, and have high gold prices. They cannot continue to print money and tell us there is no inflation with high gold prices. So their agenda is to bring those prices down. There's a lot of money, there's a lot of gold that is being traded, and I do believe these central bankers are flooding the market with gold, and I think not only with, there are limits that they can flood the market with, but the paper can influence the price, and when you have the negative news 24/7, it's amazing what they say about gold. Anybody would want to sell their gold and be very cautious of it.
Well, I wouldn't.
Here's
where I look at this when I hear this news. There's two parallel things going on. One is you and I and the guy down the street who are trying to have something that will have intrinsic value. That's a very different purchase and a very different market than what the government is doing right now, because, of course, they're not doing anything with actual gold, physical gold. They're playing around because I think they're scared to death. If the interest rates start to go up, their party is over. So we're seeing the kind of trades in gold. It was back on April, you remember that the feds hit 500 tons of naked shorts. When you look at that, and of course, again, this is a paper transaction, and I think a lot of people have no idea what the derivatives market is about, period, and what shorts are going long. But the bottom line is when you're doing this, you short it when you think the price of a stock is going to fall. You want to sell the item in advance of the fall, pocket the money, then buy it back after it falls, thus making the short sale. And that's what it is if you're a speculator. But if the government, you're trying to lower the price of the metal, because if the price of the metal goes down, the apparent value of the dollar goes up. And what you said is so right. Our currency is a con game. It is backed on nothing but our belief. It's pegged to absolutely zip. So you're seeing, and you saw in the last couple of weeks when Bernanke hinted that maybe quantitative easing would be letting up, people went crazy. So you do see the price of gold really fluctuate. But the other thing, and I know you've kept track of this, Melody, but you see a lot of different pundits who, they got the answers, don't you know? And I hear everything then, within 6 months, gold will be at $900, to within 6 months, gold will be at $3,000. So I've got quite the spread there. You're looking at this too. To me, this screams more of a reason to have something that has intrinsic value. But what do you think is going to happen in your mind with all the games that are being played?
I think what we're going to see is we're going to see gold settle. I'd like to see it close above 1300, but I think it's going to fluctuate around these levels. At this point, I don't believe we're going to see 900. I think everybody missed the ball that it would drop this low. And the reason why everybody missed the ball was because of the fundamentals. The fundamentals didn't change from today, from 3 years ago or 5 years ago, 30 years ago. The fundamentals are still the same for gold. And until I see a change in that, my view on gold and silver is still to purchase it and you put it away. And I don't chase the gains. I don't chase that $3,000, $5,000, $50,000 price tag that I have seen placed on gold. I do believe we're going to see $3,000, and it's a very possible we'll see $5,000 in gold. That's not why I buy gold. I buy gold for the investment of protecting me against inflation and given me the security that I know because our dollar is going to continue to lose its value. There are a lot of pundits out there. Some of them got lucky. And so now we look at what's going to happen. And you are absolutely correct, because there isn't anything that government can do. There isn't anything that Bernanke can do. He can talk all he wants about tapering off on quantitative easing. He'll just create another program in order to continue to throw money. They almost think it's a laughing matter. Oh, he said today he's not printing money. He says not literally. And it's unbelievable. They think that they can continue to feed the American public, and a lot of them do by what they say, without any. There is a day of reckoning coming, and people better get prepared for it. So there's a huge spread in gold. You hear both. I don't buy gold for those reasons. I buy the fundamentals for gold.
Yeah, in terms of why I would buy, absolutely. It's so that you have something that no matter who's in charge, what the government is, you've got something that that has intrinsic value. It is interesting to me to watch gold because I think it does portend what's going on globally with governments and economies. And you're right, the Fed can never stop the game they're playing, but they also can't play it forever. Anyone who says they know the date they stop is lying through their teeth, because we don't know. But one of the things that I thought was interesting was Germany in January demanded a large amount of their gold from the New York Fed, and the New York Fed said, well, we'll pay it to you over 7 years. This tells me that they don't have it. I know Ron Paul had a bill he wanted to audit all the gold in Fort Knox, and of course everybody kind of laughed him out of the house. But the bottom line is we have no we know we can't cover the contracts, you know, the naked shorts and things like that. That kind of gold just doesn't exist on the planet. But in terms of other things, there's not nearly as much gold as people who have quote-unquote invested in it when they invest on paper.
Absolutely. And it is true. We should have it audited. These central banks have leased gold they don't have, and they've done it time and time again. And again, there's going to be a day of reckoning when people are going to want their gold. Governments are going to want their gold. We've seen various countries request their gold. Venezuela took their gold back. For some reason, we didn't give it back to Germany. And yeah, over a period of 7 years, and I believe they are fighting that. To get that eliminated and get it a lot faster. But Merkel wants to get reelected this year, so, you know, she's probably going along with the program. We'll see what happens after the elections if she gets reelected, but she probably will. Because they're also working, I don't know, I've just been reading up a lot on our trade agreement with Europe. They're working very hard to get that passed, a free trade agreement with the European Union, because we are basically supplying funds to them to keep things flowing. I didn't realize our trade with Europe was as big as it was. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out and how it folds out. The thing, what people got to understand, that everything that Washington and Wall Street, whatever they do, whatever they create, it's certainly not for the benefit of the people. It's only for the benefit of the banks. This is what it's all about. This is why these low interest rates are low. It's supplying funds to these banks so they can continue. Bernanke talks about stress tests. Oh, please. You know, it's kind of like asking me if I have $1 million in my account. I'm going to say yes.
Of course.
It's just a farce, but people buy it, and I think we're in far worse situation today than we were in 2010, 2009.
Absolutely, or even 2008, really, because the only thing that changed in September of 08 is the Bank of International Settlements new accounting rules kicked in. Nothing physically changed here. So I'm looking at this, and I'm increasingly worried. Maybe they think that they can control this forever, and who knows, maybe they can. But the more they do, when you look at $441 trillion in interest rate derivatives alone, when this crashes, this is the crash of forever. This is exactly why you want to make sure you have some amount of precious metals, because everything else, dollars, they're worthless. Now, the next thing is, I hear commercials all the time, and I know you do too. The one that really gets me is, put your 401k or your IRA in gold, which, of course, by definition means you're not taking possession of the metal. In the event that there is a real holocaust in the economy, is there even a likelihood that what you have on paper matters?
Well, I mean, if you get an IRA in gold, you actually do get the gold. The gold is stored in a depository, a Delaware depository. People have to look at risk. Number one, it is always better to take physical delivery of your gold, period. No questions asked. That's the best thing to do. Some folks have a lot of money in their IRAs or their 401s that they could actually convert to gold. Now, is that the best thing? No, the best thing is taking physical delivery of it. However, I believe holding gold in an IRA is better than holding paper in an IRA. You want to get out of the paper. And some people, they can stagger their withdrawals so they don't get hit so hard with possible penalties or taxes. So there are ways you can do it. You can time it. You don't have to take it out all at once, depending on what you have in there. People, I was told a long time ago, when you look to make it an investment, you have to take away penalties, penalties and taxes. Take that out of the equation, because penalties and taxes will keep you from doing something that you should, and that's what we see in IRAs. People know they should withdraw their funds and even their gold from their IRAs if they have it, you know, if they have that type of plan, and take physical delivery. But the penalties and the taxes keep them from doing it. And
I think it's a big mistake.
It's a very huge mistake.
Yeah. All you have to do is look at the world and what has been confiscated in the name of the greater good in the economy, and realize that if you don't have possession of it, you could be in big, big trouble. I'm just not comfortable with retirement accounts right now that are based upon what the government wants to do with them, because that's really what we're saying. Tomorrow, the government could say, we're confiscating this and we're putting it into Social Security or what have you. I mean, they've already studied those things. It could happen.
I agree with you. I agree. They're going to tinker with these pension funds. There's too much money in there for them not to take it. They're not going to allow people to retire, the baby boomers who are retiring, what, $10,000 a day or something like that, to allow them to take all that money. The government needs the money.
Yeah.
So, yes, they will come up with some sort of a plan and say, hey, we're going to take your money. We'll help you manage your funds. We're here to help you. We'll manage your funds for you. We'll set up an annuity for you, and we'll give you $2,000 a month for the rest of your life. And then you have Obamacare in there that'll shorten your life, but that's another story.
won't it, though? Yes, it all might become moot in mere moments, actually.
Yeah. But absolutely, they're going to mess with these pension funds, and they're going to mess with all of them. But to get your money from one point to the second point to the third point, so you can take physical delivery of your coins. Sometimes with folks who have large funds, it's a way that they feel comfortable. And, it's like getting your feet wet. Having gold in an IRA, yes, I do believe they're going to tinker with them, but having it in an IRA and gold short-term basis until you can get physical delivery is just one way. And they should bite the bullet or bite anything that they need, a stick or a rope or whatever, and they should pull it out and put it into physical gold.
The other thing that you hear, and I'm sure you hear this a lot, is people will say, well, my God, in the 30s, they just confiscated it all. I'll wind up losing everything. And some people actually decide what they're going to buy predicated on what they think will be confiscated. What do you see as the reality of any of that?
I think what they're confiscating today is people's wealth. In the 33, gold was their wealth. Today, it is still based in dollars, and that is what they're confiscating. They're basically stealing. They're basically robbing the people of their livelihoods. And gold, you can debate gold, whether they're going to confiscate it again or if they won't. There's two sides. I don't sell gold based on confiscation. I believe there are certain types of coins that do protect you against confiscation should it happen. But I don't think that's the number one reason we buy that type of a coin. It's just a benefit. So, you can say there's too few people in this country who own gold to make it worthwhile.
What do you think, you know, that's a great point. What do you think percentage-wise, just, and this is totally off the top of your head, percentage-wise, what do you think Americans own in terms of gold? Do you think 10% of Americans own gold, 50%?
Absolutely not.
Not even?
Probably 1%. It used to be less than 1% when I got in the business. It
really?
Might be 1%, maybe even, I'll go out on a limb, maybe 2% with silver, if you include silver in there. But no, that's all. And what people don't understand is they think, well, how can gold go up with such a small percentage? We don't need 100% of the investment population in gold. You know, we only need 10%, 15%, or 20%. So no, we don't need everyone who's investing to get in gold to have higher prices.
Well, and as we're saying, when you look at some of the pricing with all the paper that's out there, a lot of the fluctuations in price have nothing to do whether you or I bought gold.
Mm-mm.
It's just not a factor in this. And again, it's not the kind of thing you buy because you say, oh, I want to make my big killing in 6 months or a year or whatever. This you're buying for security, I think, more than any other single thing. Now, you were the one who taught me what little I know about buying gold in terms of the difference between numismatics and bullion. And numismatics, of course, are the collectibles, but they come with a premium. At this point in time, if you were suggesting somebody buy, if you're looking at numismatics or bullion, where are you on that? What are the premiums like right now?
I think you need to be diversified. Having a little bit of both is great. But I'll tell you what, the generic $20 gold pieces, the premiums have dropped so much with the big drop in the price of gold. I have clients buying the low-grade Mid-State 61 $20 Liberties for bullion. They call in for bullion, we get to talking, I explain the differences, and they make the decision to buy the Mid-State 61 $20 Liberties. So it's really all about value. I believe there's a place and a purpose for a coin in a portfolio, and it also depends on the suitability of the person who is making the purchase and what their investment objectives are. So we try to combine all of that for them to give them a portfolio of coins that matches them so they're happy with their purchase. I think $20 gold, if bought right, that's the key. You hear every day, oh, they're terrible and this and that. If you understand them and there's not, it's not complicated information to understand them, it's not rocket scientists to figure out how they work. They work best in a fear-driven market. That's when you can have multiple increases in price over what the bullion will do. And then the plan is to eventually trade those for bullion so you can increase your holdings of gold from one coin to maybe two coins or maybe even three coins. Back in 2010, when everyone thought that the dollar was going to be devalued and that we would have a banking holiday, there were some coins, the lower grades, where you could actually have traded one and purchased two.
Mm.
And you would have increased your number of ounces that you hold. When you own a one-ounce gold bullion coin, that's all you'll ever have. Even if the price of gold goes to $5,000, you cannot increase and get 2 ounces of gold. With the $20 gold pieces, in theory, you can. And so it's best to be a little bit diversified. There's a lot of dealers out there that I wouldn't even touch a $20 gold piece. I wouldn't buy one from them because they're the ones who gave the $20 gold pieces a bad name by overcharging. But if you buy them from someone like myself, where I look for values, and I'll tell you when to buy and when not to buy. And I'll give you options on which to buy.
Yeah, and I want
and at very low prices. That's what counts.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that, too, because you're hearing a lot of ads now, right now, probably more than ever, of buy gold here, buy gold there. And if you know anything about what's going on behind the scenes like you do, some of these dealers make you cringe in terms of what they're selling people. And, of course, if you don't know, it's very hard to analyze it. So we'll talk a little about that. I've got Melody Cederstrom with me. DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net is the website, and we will pick it up right there. If you've got gold questions, we'll take them because, you know, I won't be asking everything. Melody mentioned something about leasing out gold. Now, again, this is not individuals. This is the banks, the big banks, the feds. Why would you lease gold? Who would lease it? Let's find out. All that and more coming up.
Alibaba, Alibaba. Alibaba, Alibaba. Alibaba.
It's the Raleigh James Show.
Sad when you are down and out, and there's not a thing to shout about. You don't sleep, not much to eat, you feel just like dying. But you keep on trying, work and sweat, and you wait for a break. Take what comes your way. I tell myself it's not so tough. Other people have lived just as rough.
Weird, wonderful, and worth it. That's what it says. The Raleigh James Show. Call Raleigh now at 888-876-5593. That's 8888-RALEIGH.
Had enough of this down and out life. Won't take it one more day.
Indeed, far too many of us feel down and out right about now, but the reality is we're probably doing better than the government. Any government, you take your choice. We're talking to Melody Cederstrom, discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Just spell it out and you'll get there. And the thing about Melody, not only does she know her stuff, but she is as honest as they come. You will get a good deal, I assure you that. Which brings me, Melody, to the fact that there are so many people out there who are taking advantage of people who don't know what they're doing. So with that in mind, other than just say, call you, what should people look for when they're talking to somebody about buying gold? What are the red flags?
Well, a lot of these folks are professional salespeople, and, you know, they can sell the ice to the Eskimos. And what amazes me sometimes, talking to a lot of my clients, when they deal with someone and they sort of get taken a little bit, they always come back to me and say, I knew. So they have this gut feeling that something just isn't right. They were too smooth in their talking. They didn't explain anything. Customers didn't understand something, and boy, did they have a deal for them, and calling them on the phone and bugging them 24 hours a day. So as far as red flags, it's really hard to say. The red flags are, I think the key one would be buying something at spot price or buying something at a price much lower than what the average cost is. Because it just doesn't happen. We all have the same cost. We all pay for a piece of the item for the same thing. We all deal with wholesalers, so the wholesale price is the same, and it can be adjusted. There's a lot of dealers that'll do loss leads where they'll sell something at wholesale at a loss just to get the name and phone number, and then they'll come back and sell you something at a much higher price. So anytime if it's too good to be true,
It usually is,
and it's the same way with gold. But I had one guy tell me one thing that one time he says, well, I can buy gold eagles at $20 over spot, and you're $60 over spot. And he says, I'm going to go buy it from this guy. And I says, well, I hope you get them.
Right.
And that it was too good to be true to buy something that low. So, and quality. They give you ranges of quality. Well, it's going to be XF to BUs. They're not going to sell you all BUs at a higher price, so you don't want a range. And I think online buying is very deceptive because they'll show pictures of really pretty coins, and that's not the quality you get. So then when people get the product, they're scratched, they're chipped and everything else. Quality still makes a difference in this world, and people should take a little more care when they're spending so much money on product in order to preserve their wealth. When it comes to purchasing the gold and silver. So those are some of the things to look for.
Well, of course, with numismatics, I think people understand or should understand that they're graded. And the grade is, like, if you're going for a 61 or a 65, it's an agreed-to value of the coin that's in the little sealed slot. But when you're talking about numismatic, I think a lot of people don't understand that there's value there, too, the difference between an uncirculated coin and not. People often think, well, numismatic is just the spot price. But as you're saying, it's not just that.
No, it isn't. numismatic coins, they're not mass-produced like your gold eagle is. So they have a supply and demand. There's a limited supply. When demand picks up, your shelves, your inventory goes down, therefore the price increases. So that is your performance of protection. It protects you against confiscation like they did in 1933. It also gives you a privacy issue. When you go to sell them, like some of your gold bullion coins, there are no 1099s, so you have a little bit more privacy with your $20 gold pieces. Now, I don't advocate people buy true rare coins, you know, one of a kind, a $50,000 coin or a $100,000 coin. That is for a true collector. But folks can buy generic coins. They're readily sold onto the market. You don't need a special market. You don't need a special buyer. People will want your coins. I hear that a lot. Well, so-and-so said nobody will be there to buy these coins.
That's ridiculous.
And that's just crazy talk.
No, that's ridiculous. As I was mentioning about leasing, gold leasing, which, again, as individuals, that wouldn't happen. But what we're really talking about, in most situations, you would think if it was on a regular retail market, this would be illegal. They're talking about selling the same things twice, leasing it out for sale and then, quote-unquote, buying it back. There is much less gold than is actually being sold. So the idea that you would that nobody would buy it, I don't ever foresee that being a remote possibility.
Not at all. Well, they say the price will be too high that people won't be able to afford it. There's going to be people out there that have money, and not everyone is going to lose everything. And there's going to be people smart enough to know before this happens that they're going to get out of the paper and into gold. That's usually the last phase of a bull market. So, no, there'll be plenty of people to buy your gold. I've even heard the same thing about 90% silver. Don't buy 90% silver because people don't know what it is. And that's just dumb and crazy. And usually those type of people have an agenda, and usually it's paper. They want to get you involved in paper somehow, some way.
The one that I hear a lot that I always sort of bristle at are the ads that we can sell it below spot because we bought so much of it so long ago, and it's just been sitting here waiting to sell to you. and I'm sure you've heard that, too, that pitch.
Lie. Well, I can't say it's lies, but on the other hand, if it's too good to be true, you can't buy anything at spot price. If they bought something at spot price, you have to realize that they bought it from a customer at a very low price. So basically, they robbed that guy in order to sell it to you at that low price. So I wouldn't want to do business if people treated their customers that way.
Yeah,
I had a call in on another program last night about a local dealer. He was able to sell his coins a little bit lower than my price. And I says, well, ask him how much he's going to buy those coins, same coins back. It will be significantly lower. Because that's the only way he can sell and save 10 cents a coin, and that's about what the difference was. So there's reasons. Local dealers have a purpose and a place. It is usually for the smaller buyer. They usually don't have the access to large quantities of gold and silver like we do. They don't work with wholesalers. They work with the local people. And so you have to understand they buy their product from them. It has to go in their display case, and it has to sit. It could sit for a day or it could sit for months, so they have to price all that in. So,
there's another thing about gold I hear from people occasionally. They'll say, well, I don't have any gold coins, but I have a whole lot of gold jewelry. Now, when that's the case, how is that valued?
I don't do gold jewelry. I don't buy gold jewelry as an investment. I think people, if they buy gold, you know, I guess unless you're Elizabeth Taylor... But for most folks, you know, if they have a special piece, you can buy it for an investment. But I wouldn't want to put my hard-earned dollars that I worked so hard for into jewelry. So usually it's our jewelry, our 14-karat jewelry, usually doesn't have that much gold in it anyway. And I think if people are looking to sell their jewelry, they need to get quotes, compare prices, and check the people out to make sure that you do get your money from them.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. The people that I talk to about this are not people who want to buy it. People who maybe, you know, Aunt Gertrude left me a bunch of necklaces or a bunch of rings or whatever, where they're sitting on a certain amount of gold and they're clueless. And I don't think they're the only people. I think there's probably a lot of that. They're clueless as to what to do.
If it's really nice jewelry and, you know, maybe they're, you know, passed down generational type items and so forth, antique shops, sometimes they'll put them on consignment. Jewelry stores sometimes will put nice jewelry on consignment. And, you know, you could split the profit with them and so forth. So there are ways you can, you know, sell it. And that's what I would do.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's a lot of auction houses on the Internet anymore. And so you can still sell your jewelry, but I would go to, instead of just taking it to a pawn shop, that would be my last place I would
go.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. I wouldn't suggest that.
But jewelry stores on consignment, absolutely.
Okay, so the more upscale places, probably in the larger cities that actually deal with a lot of volume.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned something that I was absolutely clueless about, and that is bullion is $10.99, but numismatics are not.
Yes.
Now, that's interesting. You got to wonder when that loophole will be closed.
Well, you got to know, you have to understand why there is that loophole.
Well,
there's a reason why it's there, and there's a reason why they've never closed it.
I assume there's big money in this somewhere, so tell me.
Well, I'm assuming those who write, you got to remember, legislation is written for those who write it.
Yeah.
It's not written for the common people.
Yeah.
So if they leave loopholes open, it's for them. It's for the benefit of them.
That's right.
So you'd have to know what type of coins that they own and where their money goes into. Now, you can have, there's another thing that could be debated on 1099s. You know, there's a lot of folks out there that say 1 ounce gold eagle coins, you don't have to 1099 because they didn't make the list. Well, they didn't make gold eagles at the time that they made the list of bullion coins. So, and there is even a little criteria with the bullion coins. It's 24 or more ounces in a 24-hour period. So anything underneath that doesn't have to be 1099. It's really left up to the discretion of the business because there are some situations where you'd want to do it anyway. But so they do allow you a little free room there. So if you just sell one coin or two coins, you're fine. You're not going to be 1099.
Or even 10 coins if you're saying 24 ounces. So
24 ounces. That's
yeah,
correct.
So up to 24 coins. But then again, there you'd want to talk to the dealer to see, are you going to 1099 me? And the other thing is, assuming that you bought these things, you've got a basis in them. So you're not paying tax on what you sold them for. You're paying tax on the difference between what you bought and what you sold.
That's correct.
So I think a lot of people are hesitant to make changes because of tax reasons. But I would assume that for most people who are concerned about that, there's usually ways to pretty much neutralize it if you're talking about staying in gold.
Well, you know, I had a lot of people when at the end of the year, everybody was concerned about what the taxes were going to be when we went over the fiscal cliff. And I'll tell you what, I mean, it's what are you going to do? Okay, keep your dollars. Don't buy gold. Let them steal 50% of it instead of paying taxes of 25%. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. You always have to look at long-term and what ifs. You know, you have to look at the risk because you can't make an informed decision until you know what those risks are. And it's tough because a lot of this information that people glob onto is coming from folks who have an agenda. They don't want you to go into gold. They want you to go into something else.
Right, right. Or people who are comparing what they're hearing on the news, which invariably, again, is what you're talking about countries are doing or major banks, the Federal Reserve or whatever. And that's a completely different agenda than what somebody who is trying to make sure they've got some assets that will stand no matter what happens to the economy. I don't look at the discussions I have about gold with regard to the Fed and governments and things on that level as relating to me personally of whether I could have gold or not. They're two different things. They're a great indicator, though. I see gold probably one of the best indicators of the strength of the dollar, which is why when people are so excited when I can get more gold now because it's down. Well, the dollar's just gotten a little stronger. When gold's way up, that's when you better be worrying about your dollars.
Absolutely. I mean, it is an indicator, and they do work opposite. And, you know, people expect them to work day-to-day, and it doesn't. You know, you have to, again, look at the long-term trend on where we're headed. And you're absolutely right. It isn't the price of gold going up and down. It's when the price of gold goes up, it's the dollar going down. It's
right.
The value of your dollar going down. So I believe gold and silver is really the only way that we have. To me, it carries the least amount of risk. I talk about risk. Look at risk at everywhere else. What other investments carry the least amount of risk than gold? And when everyone else is telling you not to buy it, that's when you want to buy it. And turn on any financial program, whether it be radio, mainstream, whether it be radio or television, and they tell you not to own it. And that's when you do. That's when you want to go out and you want to buy as much as you can.
Yeah, I can't imagine the idea of not wanting to own a certain amount of precious metals, again, only because there's nothing else that you're doing financially that will have intrinsic value if all goes to hell. Nothing else is predicated upon a real asset. Used to be the dollar was, but not in our lifetime, not really.
Well, I mean, when I got into the business, we didn't have the housing crisis. We didn't have quantitative easing. We didn't have the problems that we had today. What we had was a government that placed us on a fiat currency that's not backed by anything. And just that act alone told us that the dollar, our currency, was going to be devalued because they were able to print as much as they could, and when you have more of something, the value goes down. And it really is as simple as that. Now, here we are today, trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. We have a government that's way too big because there was no accountability. They were able to do and create as many programs as they wanted. We have an economy that's not surviving. We have jobs that have left this country. And there is a day of reckoning that is coming. So here we are today. So when we started selling gold so many years ago based on the fiat currency, no, we didn't carry as much gold in our portfolios at that time as we did today. But as this unfolds and it gets more and more severe, we keep adding gold to our portfolio. When the day comes that we sell our gold, we probably won't sell 100% of it. We're going to sell it, and we're still going to always keep a small portfolio in gold, about 20%.
Yeah.
That we'll always have.
Right. I would hope so, because, again, it's the only real thing going. Now, when you look at the fact that there clearly, certainly on paper, is exponentially more bought and sold than exists, is the day going to come, or has it ever come, when it's hard to get gold?
Absolutely. I'll tell you when, 2009, 2010,
mm-hmm.
There was, I would be buying coins. I'd place customers on hold, and I'd call my buyers, and by the time I got back to them, gold had increased, or the prices of the coins increased $20, $30. We have trouble of either the mint gets behind or they delay for whatever reasons, product. You got to remember, $20 gold pieces, they're not mass produced anymore, so there is a limited supply. And when we've seen markets where a product has gotten tight, we couldn't get them. There's always another alternative, though. But I believe you have secondary markets. So, you know, possibly I believe there's going to be a period of time where, no, there won't be any product available. But I think the price will get high enough where people will sell it, but it's not going to flow easy. Just like silver. You know, we've had a tough time with silver this year, with Silver Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
There's been several delays since the first of the year.
Well, in some ways, silver is kind of a hidden jewel, because when you look at where the price was to where it is now, there have been some real gains in silver. I mean, serious gains in silver that I think a lot of people dismiss.
I think so. But silver is also the one item where they chase. And I think it's there's distortions in silver. But anytime you have the bigger increases in price, you can have a little bit more volatility. I think silver is very important to have in a portfolio. But again, I'm just a little more conservative. I don't chase gains. I chase fundamentals. But
mm-hmm.
It's going to be gold and silver. But yeah, you're right. These levels with silver below 20, it's a steal. And I think they opened up new contracts in June. They lowered the contract. It used to be on a futures contract. It was 5,000 ounces. Well, they dropped it to, they created a new one for 1,000 that started in June, and the first month was September. Personally, what I think that you're going to see some lot higher numbers in silver come September.
Yeah, and that could be people who invested back when it was $12 an ounce or whatever. They've got some real gains there.
Absolutely.
Serious gains. Now, in terms of bullion, you mentioned with numismatics like $20 gold pieces, you've got a finite amount. You know, $20 Liberties or St. Gaudens or whatever, there are what they are. Nobody's making them anymore. But in terms of the bullion, when South Africa does a Krugerrand or when Canada does a maple leaf, is there a finite amount of that as well?
Krugerrand, sometimes they'll have a problem keeping up with the demand. We've seen problems. We've seen a few delays with Canadian maple leaves. You know, but just like anything else, you know, when you have a tornado coming to your, or more, well, tornado or hurricane, your bread will be depleted from the shelves, and it takes a couple of days to replace it. And gold bullion is pretty much the same. You can have runs on gold, and it can be depleted, and it takes them a little bit of time to add it back to the inventory.
But they will. But it's, what you're saying is they will. They don't have any finite amount on it.
We hope they will. But you're dealing with governments, so you never know what they will do. I mean, they could very easily come out and say, we can't keep up, so we're not going to make them anymore.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't trust any of them to not do something like that.
Well, and that would overnight anybody who had a bunch of uncirculated Krugerrands or whatever, that would suddenly increase their value if tomorrow they didn't make anymore.
I would think so.
Yeah.
But they need higher gold prices, though, too.
Yeah. So it's interesting as we watch again. To me, the point is that what you're hearing on the news about the major trades and what are almost always paper trades and derivatives should not influence what you're thinking about in terms of your personal assets. I can't name anything else other than the precious metals market where you're actually taking possession of something that will have value no matter what happens.
The markets are rigged, plain and simple. And they control everything. They brag recently. I'm just shocked. They brag about inside trading. You'd do it if you'd make. It's just shocking. They used to put people in jail for inside trading, insider trading, and it doesn't matter. Crime doesn't matter. Crime still pays on Wall Street. But for most folks, it's a gambling casino, and there's a lot of risk. And I do believe they're propping it up. They're propping up the markets, the stock markets, and it's just a matter of time. And
when I you probably saw today out of the Daily Mail out of the UK that pay and bonuses at Goldman Sachs rose 10% in 6 months because profits almost doubled. And you look at that and you say, wait a minute, I know what's going on with the real economy. And if this isn't a bubble, nothing ever has been.
No, right. People chase gains. They're now getting these individual investors into the markets. And guess what? They're always the last one to the party. And they're the ones who pay for the party. So they're going to be running in there, buying up all these stocks. And guess what? They're going to lose. And it's not going to come back like it did before. You're going to have the market drop. It's not going to come back the way it did when it went to 6,000.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I am not a fan of that because I think that's wild speculation. Again, no intrinsic value. It could go to 6,000, go to 1,000, whatever it is. It's not predicated on something that will have value no matter what. Am I leaving anything out that I should be asking you?
I don't think so. You do a terrific job.
Well,
that's why we needed you.
Yeah, you're so kind, Melody. Give your show a plug.
Also, I want to tell you, we actually shortened our website. They can get to the website with the domain that you've mentioned, but we shortened it to DGS for Discount Gold Silver Coins, COINS.com.
Okay, DGScoins.com. Good enough.
DGScoins.com.
Excellent. And the show?
Financial Survival. They can go to the website. We have a 4 o'clock Eastern that they can listen to directly from the website Financial Survival.
Terrific. Melody, thanks for taking time out tonight. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. I also appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye, Melody. All right, Melody, it's just terrific. It's the best. I would not buy gold from anyone else. In fact, frankly, I had some that was, you know, left over from relatives and stuff like that. But in terms of purchasing myself, I never would until I got to know Melody. And it wasn't that I didn't believe in purchasing gold. It was that I didn't have anybody I trusted. And now I'd pick up the phone anytime. I trust her completely. Discount, well, I won't say discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. You can do that. But now you can do it. DGScoins.com. All right. That was true, by the way, about Goldman Sachs. We'll pick it up there on the Raleigh James Show.
It's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm gonna paint a picture of a beautiful girl, someone that I can call my own. Her portrait on the canvas, greatest sight in the world. I'll just take leaving alone. She'll have the eyes I'm wild about, the lips that I can't do without. Her smile will thrill me so. She'll have that angel glow, and I'm gonna love her.
Paranoid to the max, the Raleigh James Show. Call Raleigh now at 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH.
Baby, baby.
Indeed, it is the Raleigh James Show. You can't interrupt it. I hope you will. 610-640-6400. That will do it to it. You might have caught this. It's been all over the internet, I do believe, but... McDonald's budget. That's really it's a budget that was put together by McDonald's and Visa, a sample budget for how you can live on low income. Now, the first thing I look at, maybe if you're 18, why do I say that? Because it talks about monthly net income. Monthly net income from your first job, $1,105 a month. Monthly income from your second job, $955 a month. Total net income, $2,060. Do you realize this is predicated upon a 75-hour work week? Now, I don't know about you. Yeah, right. I'm lucky to get through 10 of them. What, are you kidding me with that? They're also assuming that you're going to save $100 a month based upon this. Yeah. That your rent will be $600 a month. Your car payment will be $150. Your insurance will be $100. Your health insurance will be $20. Yeah, what planet are they living on? Because when you're making the kind of money that you've come up with this budget, you don't have health insurance in that job. Certainly not that your employer is paying all but $20 worth. Heating, zero. Yeah, you don't need it if it's hot. You know, if you need to be hot, if it's cold, sit in the car. cable and phone, $100. Electric, $90. Other, $100. So your monthly expenses would be $1,260. You're saying, what happened to food? Well, they put that in the monthly spending total. You'd have an extra $800 of flex money where you could eat and buy clothes and all that kind of stuff. So I'm looking at this as they're justifying that, sure, you could be able to do this. And a lot of people are making fun of this online. And there was an article in the Washington Post that said, this isn't cruel, it's realistic. Well, you look at things like this and you realize exactly why things are going to hell, because they're saying it's realistic and they're forgetting that you're working 75 hours a week. Everybody's tearing apart the expenses in various articles I'm reading, and nobody's looking, you're working 75 hours. Who can do that? Like I say, maybe if you're 18, but after a while, I think you wouldn't have to worry about any of these charges or expenses because you'd be too depressed to go spend the money. That's when you'd curl in a ball and that would be it. How long can you realistically work 75 hours a week? There are no vacations in this, obviously, either, because most of these jobs probably didn't come with paid vacation. So I guess you work till you die and you don't have to worry, because based on this budget, it's not going to be too long. All right, so that was the first thing I saw today that I thought, oh, wait a minute. And then, yes, pay and bonus at Goldman Sachs rise 10% in 6 months. Profits almost double. This is global. This is not just New York or not just London. This is a global figure. There's 31,700 people globally working for Goldman Sachs. 6,000 work in the UK. And they looked at what the total pay was, £5.3 billion. In the first half of the year, considering how many people are struggling, hey, our budget there for 75 hours a week, yeah, you got it, is sort of like, shall we say, the pre-crisis days. You betcha there's a bubble. There's a huge bubble. So when you read the articles about gold, and I hope you will, because it does tell you a lot about the economy on a truly global scale, but in terms of personal, yeah, you betcha I believe in buying gold. But it is interesting that you look at what's being quote-unquote bought and sold on paper. And again, this has nothing to do with you, the individual. It cannot work long term. It just can't. So, you know, I don't know what will happen if Germany says suddenly, we want it all. And Melody was right, an election year and all that kind of stuff. But at what point? And by the way, if you're saying, how did the gold get there? That goes way back. It goes back to a time of the wars, you know, when it was thought that, well, what if Russia came and bombed Germany to the point that their assets were exposed? And so we're going back to literally 1940 and before on this. And so now Germany says we want it back. And the Fed says, well, it'll take us about 7 years. I think that Ron Paul was onto the right thing when he said, yeah, you know, we need to audit what's in Fort Knox. Yeah, we do, because the reality is we have absolutely no idea. 610-640-6400. I guess it's better off in Russia than you might think. Armani is selling diapers there. Yeah, the Armani logo on the diaper. Well, I'll be honest. I looked at this a couple times. This got to be a joke. And there are others who thought that, too. So not sure it's a real ad, but it wouldn't surprise me either. Let's see. Got a number of things as far as imminent stories, as it were. One in Florida really makes you wonder. Drone crash today. An unmanned aircraft experienced problems on takeoff. Yeah, better than where it could have been, right? But it closed part of U.S. Highway 98 near Tyndall. It's believed to be a QF-4. It does have a self-destruct mechanism, which activated could cause significant damage, hence the closing of the highway. So plumes of smoke pretty much for miles and miles. But, yeah, it's really frightening to think. You know, I had a friend years ago who was frightened as all get out to be on a plane. And I had joked, I said, well, you know, you're lucky, you'll be driving down the freeway and the damn thing will land on you. And right? But the reality is that you look at some of these drones and you wonder, you really wonder on every level. So you've got little Zimmerman news. Yeah, I know, you don't even want to hear it. But as I say, there are a few things in this trial you need to hear, because the concept of double jeopardy, which we've talked about, the idea that the feds would try him again for the same act is just a horrible reality in this country. Now, we were talking last night about the fact that there really isn't anything that the DOJ can use to try him a second time, because it's pretty cut and dried what the federal charges would be, and they're not there. And so sort of say, well, I guess they'll huff and puff, but they can't do anything. Well, I still say they'll huff and puff, but they can't do anything. But now the DOJ is reaching out to Americans. They want tips from the public on civil rights charges to build a federal case against George Zimmerman. You know, I wish this were a joke. I certainly laughed out loud until I realized, oh, wait a minute, no. Sanford.Florida@usdoj.gov. Apparently, Barbara Arnwine, the president and executive director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, told the Orlando Sentinel the federal government is appealing for civil rights groups and community leaders to help build its case. I know. I should just stop reading right there. Arnwine said FBI representatives and several federal prosecutors were also on call. along with the president and the director council of the NAACP, Laura Murphy, the chapter head of the ACLU, several national, state, and locally based human relations group. Obviously not the guy who's head of the NAACP in Norfolk, the 25-year-old president of that chapter, who said, hey, you know, Trayvon had a shaky past and they're trying to fire him. So Holder has vowed he's going to launch a federal civil rights investigation. And as I said, there's nothing there. There just isn't. Now, even if you believe that the jury rendered the wrong verdict, there is no way you can extend that to federal hate laws, for instance, because it's just not there. You know, other than what NBC tried to do in editing a tape, you just don't see it. So now they're calling all prosecutors to determine whether there's evidence that reveals a prosecutable violation of any of the limited federal civil rights statutes. And they're just not. But Holder saying, we must not let this opportunity pass. They're big on not letting opportunity pass, as you know, like like the guy who is now mayor of Chicago, who used to be in Obama's inner circle, probably still is, but I mean on scene, who said, what's the good of a crisis? You know, can't let that go to waste. You might want to pounce on it for what you can get out of it, paraphrasing that badly. But nonetheless, Holder is saying, we're not going to let this opportunity pass. We've resolved to combat violence. Yeah, right. That, by the way, is not a bad thing. It's just that there's nothing in this that you can extrapolate that George Zimmerman violated civil rights, unless you say that anybody who kills anybody for any reason whatsoever is violating the right to life. Well, they don't want to go there. They don't like the word right to life, do they? Oh, no, that's... Charles Rangel and other House Democrats called a press conference to urge an immediate and thorough investigation. You're just not going to get there. So I still say that this is a show, but nonetheless, it's really sad when Holder is saying to the general public, yeah, come up with something I can use here. Oh, man. So the guy we talked about, who Ben Krudbos, who was fired because he was in some ways the whistleblower. He was the employee at the Florida State Attorney's Office who let it be known that the prosecution was not providing the defense with all the information they had, and they fired him unceremoniously. And bottom line, of course, is that he's right. The prosecution had failed to provide all the evidence that was extracted from Trayvon Martin's cell phone. And there were significant items, images and text messages that were left out. What was interesting to me is that self-righteous, holier than thou, this is how we're going to fire you and you'll never set foot in our office again. So he's suing. Good for him. I think they're claiming that his motive was not pursuant to any genuine concern. But you look at this and realize that the information that was withheld is something that could have been very instrumental to the case. And if anybody should have been fired, it was, I think, the prosecutor who withheld it. Well, we'll see what happens there. So he's filing suit. So he seeks action against the state attorney's office, and he's filing a whistleblower action in Florida's 4th Judicial District. Whether or not that will happen, who knows? He's asserting that his termination was intended to instill a message of fear against potential whistleblowers. If they do speak to an attorney, then they are dead, is what he's saying. Well, they're at least fired. Soraya in Detroit, how are you?
Hey, Raleigh, how are you?
All right, what's happening?
Oh, well, I went to go play trivia tonight, but that's not why I called. I just thought I'd tell you actually went out and played trivia to Bone Up for Friday.
Oh, good. Did you win?
Actually, we won third place. It was great. We got our meal paid for, so.
Hey, a free meal sounds good to me.
It was actually really good. But I thought I'd give you some real data for that first story.
Yes.
I don't obviously work at McDonald's.
Yes.
But I actually wanted to call about this. You were talking about the price of insurance going up, and I wanted to call about this last week, and it just slipped by me. Our insurance plan at work went up, and essentially it's going to negate my raise.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm just sure. Now, is this going up because of Obamacare?
I'm guessing so. I work at a very small business, and I'm guessing that my employer is getting stuck with a bigger bill. What we essentially got explained to us is that if they didn't shop around, it was going to double what we're paying out a month.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I can give you some more wonderful numbers about how my life goes. And I don't work 75 hours either. If I did, there's no point to living, is there?
Well, see, that's what I say. And I looked at all these people online who were making fun of this budget, and none of them pointed out, wait a minute, this is working 75 hours a week. Nothing else matters after that. Yeah, it's crazy. It's just crazy.
It's scary.
Right. It truly is. Now, what is your health insurance going to a month? Do you know?
I don't know yet, and because I'm single, it's not going to be as astronomical as it is for the people I know with families, but I got to do some math, and math is not my strong suit, sorry. Right now, it's at 100. So, and, you know, I make a decent amount of money, but considering I have a college degree, not really.
Well, right. Do you have student loan debt?
$60,000.
See, this is the thing that I really wonder. This is where I become a conspiratorialist, because most people who graduate with bachelor's degrees have at least that level of debt. And given the job potential, there's no way you can pay that back.
No, I mean, I guess I could work two jobs. But even at that rate, I mean, the amount of money that I'm going to pay into taxes, because it's going to push me up into the next tax bracket.
Right.
So it doesn't really make sense for me to do that. And lucky for me, I have nice parents that are willing to help me with some of it. But, I mean, I'm almost 40. It's kind of ridiculous they have to do that.
And they are, as you so well know, not alone. That's been really the safety net for so many people. And when the parents are starting to be hurt, which many of them are, there's nowhere to turn. It just doesn't work.
No, and my dad's a government employee, or was. So, like, my mom is constantly worried the government's going to pull out their pensions.
Oh.
I mean, it's something we talk about all the time, and she's a huge concern about it. So.
Well, right now, probably safer with that government pension than most of the private ones.
I sure hope so. But
yeah.
I always like to call in and give realistic stats and numbers, and also I like to call in and say, hey, I went out for an hour, and I'm still calling.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, right, that's right. So Roy is calling, you can too. Yes, yes, exactly.
Yes, and this is exactly my point, is that I'm still supporting the show, I'm still here. So, you know, I have to say, Raleigh, I love it when you get on, and you're like, hey, I can see how many of you are out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And even if it's a low number, I know that percentage-wise, somebody should be dialing the phone. That's right. Let's see. And, you know, I'm very pleased that more people listen to the replays and the podcast, because if the numbers of the live show were the only numbers we have, this would be very, very upsetting. But let's see where we are right this moment. Oh, we're at an even 80.
Wow, that's good, right?
Yeah. Well, that, you know, usually we're somewhere between 80 and 95 during the live shows, and then I'll look at the replays and it's like 780 or something. Like, why can't you people be awake from 10 to midnight? But
I'm a dedicated person, and as you can tell, I do have a life, but
yes.
I started a nap for an hour in the afternoon so I can catch most of it, because as I've told you, I can't really sleep to you. You're interesting, so it doesn't do me any good.
Oh, man. No, I know what you mean. I've really resorted to air traffic control now to fall asleep. That's usually what puts me out faster than anything else. But yes, I appreciate the compliment. Now, that $100 on your insurance, is that a month or is that a pay period?
Oh, that's a month. So
okay.
We're talking, like, I think it's something crazy, like $25, which I know it doesn't sound a lot, but like, if you really knew, well, I think I've discussed with you, not in this realm. If you really knew what I made, it's really sad. So
no,
it's kind of like, and there's something else I saw on Facebook today that said if the minimum wage rate went up as it should have for cost of living, we'd be at like over $20 an hour.
Oh, right. If it was based upon what we pay versus what
right.
we earn. Oh, of course. And, you know, that's the thing. And especially, you know, back in, let's say, 40 years ago, 1973, I was from Moton Records. And that's when Motel 6 was $6 and the Super 8 was $8. And, you know, even if you went to the Hilton downtown, it was $18. And I look now and I'm like, wait a minute. It's 10 times that amount in most places. I'm not making 10 times as much money for the same job, and neither is anybody else. So it's that way across the board. And I think what's caused people not to really riot about this is the availability of credit. That's been what they've used as the salve on the general public. And it's not good.
No, and I don't have much credit card debt. Luckily for me, I paid a lot of that off. But I was unemployed when I went this last time to college. I mean, I've been going on and off for over 10 years, and when I got unemployed the last time, I just said, forget it. I'm looking for a job, I'm just going to go full-time. So, I mean, I lived on that money. So it's not like I don't have a problem paying it back if you would pay me enough so I could.
Well, that's the point. And that's today. Most people, I was reading about a law firm in Atlanta where they require college degrees of everybody. So there's their receptionist who's being interviewed, making a receptionist salary, and she's got $100,000 in college loans. Like, this just doesn't add up. You know, it doesn't work for me.
That's why I won't go for a master's. I don't want $100,000 in debt. Are you kidding me? I won't ever pay that off. Come on.
No. I understand it for people who want to be doctors or lawyers or things that require the education. But for young people today, if they're not going into that, with this economy right this moment, I say, don't bother, you know, because you'll be upside down forever.
Yeah, and I mean, I can back up exactly what you're saying about the lawyer. When I worked at Chrysler Financial, we did a college degree to do collections. And so, like, I did a bunch of back-end accounting and stuff. But, I mean, there was that big of a bump in pay, and they didn't care what your degree was in. It's not like that anymore at all.
Exactly. Yeah, it used to be the FBI. I'm sure they still do require college degrees, and they never cared what it was in. They just wanted to make sure you could stick to something for 4 years. And so you'd see people with philosophy or sociology to go, I'm going to work for the FBI. Oh, yeah, you're prepared. So, yeah, well, unfortunately, these budgets are real world. And the idea that they could put one out there expecting somebody to work 75 hours a week and say, see, you can make it. No, I don't consider that making it.
It's not. And luckily for me, I find things to do that are free. And I mean, again, I appreciate everything I have. So there is always an upside. And I also want to apologize. You know, you guys wouldn't have to listen to me so much if you'd call. So.
I appreciate that. See? Call. Thanks, Soroya. I appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Good night.
Yeah. So, again, it's not listen radio. It's talk radio. Your participation is, 610-640-6400. Because the show gets more exciting and interesting. Well, I don't know that it ever gets exciting. But interesting when you call. Yeah. Because I can only take this so far is really what it comes down to. But I'm more than willing to, believe me. So, and, you know, it's so nice that I have a federal government that always does my show prep for me. Yeah, I would have never come up with a DOJ asking for tips on how to go after Zimmerman. Yeah, it's just so over the top as far as that goes. A couple other things that are out there, speaking of the DOJ, they're not asking for any help on this. They're just flat out refusing to prosecute cases of willful tax record access. So evidence, they admit, oh, yes, it's true. Government officials willfully accessed private tax documents and then made them public. The evidence against the person was laid out in a letter. The Internal Revenue Service Inspector General gave all the information to the DOJ, and the DOJ said they were declining. So the head of the IRS said, we presented evidence of a willful unauthorized access to the Department of Justice, and the case was declined for prosecution. There was evidence of three other cases of government officials assessing tax documents since 2006, but all it does there say that might have been inadvertent, but this one wasn't. And so now you've got Charles Grassley, who is the ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, who's looking for answers. He says, the public needs to know whether the decision not to prosecute these violations is politically motivated. So, yeah, they know of, and you know it's probably, and it was politically motivated, it almost had to be. They know of, through the head of the IRS, the DOJ has been informed, that a government official, maybe someone in the White House, who knows, willfully accessed private tax documents. They have all the information to prosecute, and they're declining. You know, we could have a guessing game. Who was it? Yeah, we may never know, is the problem. Although then again, maybe there's somebody who will leak that name. All right. As far as I'm concerned, I've got something that should set, quote unquote, race relations back 100 years. I think that what Alabama has done is the single most racist thing I have heard. And what worries me is that some groups supposedly representing minorities think it's just a great idea. If this isn't a direct slap in the face, nothing is. And we'll get to that next on The Raleigh James Show. Okay.
It's the Raleigh James Show.